I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
I would accept a motion to accept the agenda.
I move that we accept the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have a presentation by the police chief for our police department employee of the year. Please, Kiblinger.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. First of all, I just want to say thank you to the officers who all of them came out, even on their own time, so I appreciate that. Michael? I'm here to present our 2018 Employee of the Year Award. You guys know, I will actually read this first, because I've already talked to most of you about the Triennial Award and how it works. In order to be nominated for the Employee of the Year, you have to be selected at least once during the year for our Triennial Award. So, Michael, as you know, you were selected for both the first and third Triennial Award of 2018, which is outlined in Policy 1030.3 as an award given to an employee from within the organization for outstanding performance in serving their community, whether internal or external. To be selected for two of the three awards is an honor and exemplifies your dedication to our department and our community. Due to your efforts performing CPR on a traffic stop, as well as your commitment, thoroughness, and persistence on several investigations throughout 2018, you were selected as the 2018 Employee of the Year. This award is given to exemplify what it is to be a Black Diamond Police Department employee. It not only represents going above and beyond your job responsibilities, but also shows by maintaining a team environment, being an exemplary role model for other department employees, creatively solving problems for citizens or fellow employees, and being responsive to our community in an outstanding manner. You have been all of these and more. We look forward to the future and what you will bring to the leader.
Jamie, you need to turn around and do an official picture.
Yeah.
And don't forget the mayor, too. One more. Wait, Chris. One more.
How about the whole department, then?
Yeah.
There you go.
You're in the right color.
Okay, Chris. He's got to take his hat off or push it back.
Yeah, take your hats off.
Hats off. Yeah, you're in the building.
Nice.
Don't steal that.
Okay, Mike.
We don't want the TV, though.
Smiling, Ryan. Here we go.
Donut.
Stage.
Nice recliners at the fire department. Thank you.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Wait. Who's watching the streets?
Oh, nobody.
Hey, it's only a
Larry.
Oh,
there's more.
Wait, there's more.
I know. I love surprises. I really don't. Anyways, tonight I also want to give Commander Larry Cole of Giovanni a letter of commendation. This letter of commendation is for your selfless dedication and commitment to the Major Crimes Task Force throughout 2018. In February of 2018, Commander Cole Giovanni was selected as the new task force commander to lead the Major Crimes Task Force. With this new position, he was given the task of revamping the investigative team. Throughout 2018, the team responded to 10 major crime incidents, including homicide, kidnapping, robbery, child pornography, and a home invasion shooting case. He oversaw the work and investigation of these cases, assigning out over 330 hours to detectives. Almost every case was cleared through an arrest. In addition to the investigative work, Commander Cole Giovanni set up quarterly in-service training and meetings for all the detectives. He also ensured all detectives were meeting mandated core training requirements. He quickly developed relationships with the prosecutor's office and other outside agencies in order to coordinate investigations and assignments. Commander Cole Giovanni exhibited superior work ethic, investigative savvy, tenacity, and consistently produces and expects high-quality work. He is to be commended for his diligence and commitment to our community.
Don't forget the mayor.
You can't leave out the mayor. If you ever want to see a raise.
Here we go. Are there any more awards after this?
No.
Hey, Ryan. Ryan's not in there. Ryan's got to come, you guys.
Put your hand right here.
Like a uniform to me. Perfect.
No. Oh, good. Yeah. And let's say good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have a proclamation tonight for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Calls attention to the fact that sexual violence is widespread and impacts every person in this community and in some way, whereas in Washington State, 45% of women and 22% of men report having experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. In King County, 6,657 adults and children received sexual assault services at accredited community sexual assault programs last year. And nationally, 1 in 5 children under 18 are sexually abused. And in King County last year, 2,000 children and youth who have been sexually abused received services from King County Sexual Assault Resource Center. In 2016, 18% of 10th graders in Washington reported that they had been made to engage in unwanted kissing or sexual conduct. Negative impacts of sexual violence, trauma on women, men, children, and youth include fear, concern for safety, symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, injury, and missed work or school. Working together to educate our community about sexual violence, supporting survivors when they come forward, speaking out against harmful attitudes and actions, and engaging in best practice sexual violence prevention work helps end sexual violence. Now, therefore, I, Carol Benson, Mayor of the City of Black Diamond, on behalf of the Black Diamond City Council, join advocates and communities across King County in taking action to prevent sexual violence by standing with the survivors and proclaiming the month of April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion for the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. It's time for our first public comments. Persons wishing to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 5 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to speak to council? Gary?
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Gary Davis, Black Diamond. Live about stones to throw away now. Okay, this is regards to the progress on the comprehensive plan. Basically, stating again, growth must pay for growth. This needs to be repeated now that we are beginning to see the reality of Oak Point development. The Black Diamond City Council should consider that both the state of Washington and King County have bigger problems than the State Route 169 corridor between Renton and Emenclaw. The issues of traffic and general capacity of infrastructure need to be addressed by the municipalities. The only reasonable path for Black Diamond is to require growth to pay for growth. To maintain the quality of life, the rate of growth must be controlled to our area's ability to adjust. Presently, there is no balance between requiring developers to make capacity increases before they are allowed to build more. The city of Black Diamond has been letting Oak Point build too much, too fast, and take advantage of the city's unwillingness to stand up to them. In the past 2 years, all of the following requirements have been deferred or waived. Meaningful open space conservation, road improvement design, intersection at Highway 169 and Ravensdale Road, proper permitting for Roberts Drive, Rock Creek Bridge, pedestrian crossing are just a couple of examples. Water quality in our salmon-bearing streams, construction-produced pollution running directly into Ginder Creek, the low-impact development requirements, and better stormwater treatment options have been ignored in favor of less effective underground stormwater vaults. The design of our city springs water system repairs and completion of the physical annual review. The Oak Point MPD staffing and work plan is only a small part of this review. Other parts, such as the part that would show declining real estate taxes compared to projections, have been left out. We need to require new development to pay for more of their infrastructure needs and to protect more of our natural areas. We can't rely on the state, the county, or the larger cities to protect our rural town. We have to do it ourselves. If we fail, the declining quality of life is going to cause people who can to move away. These are the people that keep the local economy healthy with the money they earn. And the longer the city takes to properly address these matters, the harder it will be to clean up the mess. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comments. We now have a public hearing on a proposed ordinance regarding the comprehensive plan update. Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Mayor, council members. We are here tonight to open up public hearing for you to take testimony on the comprehensive plan update. As you know, we've been working on this for several years. We have had open houses, joint work sessions over the years, a lot of public process. I have a stack of public comments that we have reviewed at the Planning Commission level and have incorporated into the draft that you have tonight for the public hearing. We published for the hearing tonight the Planning Commissioner's recommendation to you because I thought it would be the cleanest way to go. You will note, of course, there's still a lot of typos and formatting errors, and they need to be corrected. But what I'd like to do is hear from the public tonight. I also have received some other proposed changes to this draft plan that I'll read to you, and then we'll. I'm not asking for you to take action tonight, but just to open the public hearing, take comments, think about that, and the things that I bring forward from what I've received from the state agencies, and then at your next council meeting, that we would deliberate, and I'd have a staff recommendation on the proposed changes to this document based on this evening, based on on state agency comments, and then we also have a SEPA comment period going on right now. We have to do the State Environmental Protection Act requires that we do a SEPA on a planning document. So that threshold determination has been made. The comment period for that ends April 15th. So I think that these will all fold in nicely so that at your April 18th meeting, you can have what I hope is all of the the proposed revisions to this planning document to consider for taking action on. I'd like to just briefly present, again, this is the Planning Commission's recommendation. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on August 14th, and this is the document that they recommended to you for consideration. Since then, we are required to send a 60-day review to the Washington State Department of Commerce. We sent that letter out and received acknowledgement. The Department of Commerce had no comments for us on this draft, which was great. We are also have been working with the Puget Sound Regional Council as the regional body. They will they have the authority to certify this plan after it's adopted, and Puget Sound Regional Council's role is to make sure that the regional vision is consistent with local plans, local government plans. And the letter that they sent us, a formal letter, I'd like to just say that, let me read this out loud. There are many outstanding aspects of the draft plan that support our regional goals. Particularly noteworthy aspects include comprehensive set of policies to preserve natural and cultural resources in the city, with a focus on expanding the network of open space, parks, and trails. Policies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, mitigate climate change, and sustain good air quality. Recommendations to encourage complete streets and complete the bike and pedestrian network throughout the city. There are 10 items that they would like us to change. These are really nothing more in my mind than just adding some clarifying language. One of them is to acknowledge and address the inconsistency between our anticipated growth and the county growth targets and the regional growth strategy. Remember, we've talked a lot about how the MPD development, it skewed the numbers that are in the countywide adopted targets. And PSRC is merely saying just you need to strengthen it, the acknowledgement that it's different and inconsistent. And primarily that, you know, the housing and employment exceeds the growth targets and that it's important to manage growth and mitigate its impacts. This is a fairly, you know, text addition that we can do. They also want us to discuss how this growth is unavoidable because we just said, here it is, this is what it is, and they'd like us to go into a little more detail about how it's avoidable, how we're unavoidable, and how we're really working towards the regional vision to mitigate the impacts. Number four is they want us to say a little more about how the city is committed to continue working collaboratively with PSRC and the county to get those targets to be consistent, which will be much easier as the time goes by, because originally we had approved permit to build these and nothing really in the pipeline. Now things are getting built, and so there's benchmarks for the countywide policy growth targets and PSRC. It will be much easier for us to kind of all make sure that consistency occurs over time, and we are committed to working with those agencies to make sure that happens. And they just want us to say that. They want us to talk about how the Puget Sound Regional Council has modeling that our DKS consultants, the transportation consultants, used, but that just because DKS and PSRC staff members work together, it doesn't mean that we can actually substitute the PSRC modeling numbers for the adopted. I mean, it's more of this clarifying language that they would like to see. They'd like us to make a change in the land use appendix to demonstrate better the zone capacity for population, housing, employment. Right now, we just have a chart. Here it is, and they'd like us to put a little more narrative in that. and also to describe the affordability goals that are in the countywide policies and how we're taking steps to ensure that those are being met. DKS, they have a demand travel methodology for the transportation appendix. A PSRC staff wants us to actually write what their methodology was in our appendix. We had a statement in there that about the widening of SR 169. It's not accurate. We just need to remove that. And then finally, they want us to point out a little more where our gaps are in the network for bike and pedestrian. We really worked on that, but we didn't actually say, here's the gaps, and here's what the city is going to do to try to fill those gaps. And then levels of service, more about levels of service for this multimodal, bike, ped, other things than cars. So it's pretty straightforward, and I think that it was a lot of good help that they gave us, and I think these are good things to add, and that's what you'll see more detail in 2 weeks for the changes. The other thing that we received is a letter that is talking about that it would make sense for us to amend those map figures, 7.4 and 7.5. We have those map figures in the back that show the transportation, the future network. And there's the southeast loop connector. Where the line is drawn is conceptual. And we've gone back and forth, should the line be there, should it be there? And Oak Point's comment was like, it would be good to show both of those options that we've talked about over time, just so that when it comes to pass, nobody will say, how come the road went there when you showed that it was going to go there? Because we don't really know yet. It's still at the concept level. Makes sense to me. There's also some nice language about things that we might add in some of the transportation policies. So really appreciated that. We've received testimony from the TAT, and I think that they'll also be giving you oral testimony. I believe you got it in writing. So we'll definitely want to hear what they have to say tonight and consider that as well. Overall, this plan is a complete rewrite and reformat, although we didn't substantially change the land use. The land use map is a few minor changes. We kind of cleaned up some areas. We reduced a little of the business park industrial. We increased a little community commercial and a little bit of the medium density residential. But there wasn't a lot of significant changes to the land use designation. We did not change level of service for transportation. What we did is we added parks, recreation, open space chapter to pull more out of these policies and goals to get better recreation. We added a chapter for economic development to try to really start to work on the economy, the local economy. And, overall, just tried to make this document read better and say more about what we want to achieve in our vision statement. And I think we did that. I think that it would be great if it could be a smaller document and that we want to work on that because it's still too big. And I just want to remind everybody that will happen because the Growth Management Act allows us to do annual amendments. So this update, this periodic update that was due in June of 2015 will have to be done every 8 years. But from the point that you adopt this, we would anticipate bringing yearly amendments to continue working on it. It was a static document. It should have never been a static document, but we just didn't have staff to do it. And now I think that we're in a much better place to just really keep looking at this every year And that's my intent. So any questions before? Thank you.
Thank you, Barb.
So is there anybody wishing to speak during the public hearing? Peter.
Since I'll be talking for a group, I understand I have 10 minutes.
That is correct. You have 10 minutes.
And can you hear me? Mm-hmm. My voice is weird. Good evening. My name is Peter Rimbos. I live in rural King County, north of Maple Valley. I lead the Citizens Technical Action Team. Thank you, Barbara, for mentioning that we submitted something this morning. We resent all our written comments to you this morning on transportation. We did not resend to you all the comments we made on all the other chapters, but you do have them, and Barbara has them. Tonight I will be speaking for TAT, and I will offer oral testimony and detailed comments we submitted on Chapter 7 Transportation and Appendix 7 Transportation. I will only address the appendix, given the time. We reviewed the city's proposed transportation element, which is comprised of those two parts, according to the requirements of the RCWs, which calls for consistency with the land use element and inclusion of several sub-elements. Our 103 pages of detailed comments on the transportation element, a key part of the update, address each sub-element requirement and whether or not the city has met them to a sufficient degree. I am going to give you a top-level summary of 10 major points. 1, future decision points. The city should recognize that several key decision points in the update should be included. Traffic monitoring, traffic demand modeling, traffic transportation concurrency, and traffic mitigation funding. 2, traffic model. Barbara alluded to PSRC's comments, which I will get to later, about DKS modeling. I'll talk about a little bit what DKS did here. For the update, the city contracted with DKS Associates to conduct planning-level traffic simulation runs. Although it is not clear exactly what model development DKS did, we surmise by reading the scope of work that they used synchro models, which were used to look at PM peak hour traffic at certain intersections out to 2035. Please keep in mind that synchro evaluates macro-level performance, for example, time delays at intersections, not real-world conditions which would require much finer modeling, and does not forecast traffic demand that is a fundamental input to the model. Those numbers, which usually come from a traffic demand model, are an assumption fed into the synchro model to test. No information on such modeling has been provided in the appendix, so it remains very difficult for passing a judgment on the fidelity of the results being presented. Care must be taken in the assumptions when developing any type of traffic model and conducting subsequent analyses. For example, the city instructed DKS Associates to assume two lanes each way on 169 from Roberts Drive out to Four Corners. However, the MPD master developer is not required to expand SR 169 to two lanes in each way over that corridor. Although this should be taken into account when the new MPD traffic demand model is developed and exercised, at this point, the city should take care with the level of confidence it has in DKS's modeling and analyses to support the update. Unfortunately, none of the assumptions used in their analysis are provided in the appendix. 3, SR 169. There's a major disconnect in what is assumed herein and what actually is planned in PSRC's regional transportation plan, which is a successor to Transportation 2040 and was adopted last May in 2018. The RTP shows only a small portion of SR 169, just part of something going through Maple Valley, as slated for widening by 2040. Consequently, the update through 2035 should recognize that reality. Further, the city's hearing examiner recommended a new traffic modeling and analysis be conducted prior to the approval of permitting the MPDs. However, the city is waiting until 850 building permits have been issued. Transportation infrastructure will be designed and built before it is known if it will be performed adequately and meet level of service standards. In the future, this could present a potential major legal headache and financial burden to the city that should be recognized. Not only SR 169, which is the backbone of the city's transportation system, must be included in the projection of state and local system needs to meet current and future demand per the RCWs and the WACs, but so must King County arterials beyond city limits, such as the Issaquah-Hobart, Ravensdale Black Diamond Road, and the Auburn Black Diamond Road, all of which will be stretched beyond their current capacities. 4, cost estimates and funding. Estimates should be provided for all transportation capacity-getting projects, both short-term and through 2021 and long-term through 2035. The city should recognize in the update that predicting what will be needed in the future financing plans remains a moving target, because there will be only traffic modeling and analysis following the 850 permits. We remain concerned the city's transportation improvement plan, the TIP, relies in some part on grant monies. Further, we see no contingency plans in place should those monies continue to remain in short supply. Such contingency plans are a requirement of the RCWs. Table 7-10, the master developer funded transportation projects, is not described in the text of the appendix, nor is it referenced, and is mostly blank. Such information is necessary to evaluate whether future traffic projects will mitigate MPD impacts and whether or not the update is adequate to meet the city's vision and future needs of its residents. 5, transportation improvements. The city should not address road and intersection improvements, and I quote from the appendix, incrementally with developments as traffic volumes increase, unquote, as this frequency leads to undersized improvements, which would require retrofitting in an already developed area. The State Growth Management Act calls for identifying the long-term scope in advance, then assigning reasonable proportion of those improvements to each development. We remain concerned the verbiage in the update is not consistent. Several 2022 to 2035 intersection projects listed in Table 7-9 are not shown as transportation improvements in Figure 7-6. Because of these discrepancies, it is not clear if these projects are sufficient to ensure city LOS standards are met. Further, although traffic volume predictions are provided, there is insufficient explanation of the 2035 scenario. Figure 7-7 shows predictions at 10 key intersections, which must be consistent with the Figure 7-6 road network and the Table 7-11 listing of LOS performance. We would expect this all to be connected and sufficiently explained in the update, but it isn't. In fact, the text simply states, quote, additional arterial roads will be needed, unquote. 6, transportation concurrency. It is stated, and DKS Associates transportation experts have stated in meetings, quote, the city strategy to tie concurrency directly to the major developer within the city should give the city a step ahead of most communities that struggle to keep up with maintaining concurrency requirements, unquote. This is true to a point, but it is not a get-out-of-jail-free card, as it depends heavily on the MPD Condition of Approval 20 traffic monitoring plan, which has flaws identified by your city hearing examiner when he enumerated major concerns with how concurrency was handled in the application permit conditions of approval and the DAs. These are not addressed in the update and should be. Also, the MPD traffic monitoring plan is to specify when engineering and design is to begin, not actual construction to mitigate the problem. Such timing and mitigation is a critical path for the city and its residents and businesses and should be recognized in the update. 7, level of service. The following is stated in the update, in the appendix, and I quote, with the installation of capacity-getting projects as identified in Table 713 facilities, meet the LOS standards based on existing 6 and 20-year forecast, unquote. However, it cannot be overemphasized that the MPDs have not yet been subjected to a technically sound and accurate traffic demand modeling used to inform traffic impact analyses, as enumerated in painstaking detail by your hearing examiner in his decisions and recommendations. Consequently, the city has no reasonable assurance at this time that capacity-adding projects will in any way be sufficient to meet the needs identified, since the true needs are not truly known to any degree of accuracy. 8, population estimates. The city's estimate for future population growth is deficient. It assumes roughly 2.5 people per residence in the MPDs. The current city ratio is roughly 2.7, which reflects a relatively older population. However, since the MPDs undoubtedly will reduce the average age of the city population, a factor of at least 3.0 should be used, which would result in a city population in 2035 of roughly 70% higher than is assumed in the update. Such a discrepancy can have profound effects on traffic modeling and analyses. 9, housing job imbalance. This can continue to plague the city for years to come and get progressively worse as the MPDs are built out, especially if much of the commercial space that is planned primarily results in lower paying jobs such as retail. Those jobs most likely will not allow families to afford to purchase homes in EMPDs. Consequently, many new MPD residents... I hit the wrong button. Sorry. Consequently, many of those new MPD residents will be commuting from the city, while many in-city jobs will be filled by those commuting into the city. This will directly exacerbate traffic woes and must be properly evaluated in your modeling and your statements in the update. And 10, intergovernmental coordination. This is required by the ICWs. Quote, intergovernmental coordination efforts, including an assessment of the impacts of the transportation plan and land use assumptions on the transportation systems of adjacent jurisdictions, quote, unquote. The discussion in the appendix on such coordination is deficient and simply talks about participating on various transportation boards.
Your time is up.
When I practiced at home, I had more time. Can I have another minute?
That's 10 minutes. Sorry.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, give him another minute.
One more minute.
Does that say I have one
minute? That's not. Sorry, that's 3 minutes at a time.
I'll shut up. Okay. Thank you. As Barbara said, on November 19th last year, PSRC provided the city with a set of comments on the update. We were pleased that PSRC comments echoed several of our key points. Here's a brief summary of their key points. One, the Growth Management Act requires that local jurisdictions plan 20 years of anticipated growth. Due to the approval of the MPDs, the city's anticipated growth significantly exceeds targets, as Barbara mentioned. Two, in order to fully address the requirements of the RCWs, information from the DKS memorandum dated January 3, 2015, which details their traffic demand modeling methodology, should be incorporated in the plan to demonstrate that the trip tables are utilized in their modeling. The plan should also expand on contingency plans to address any funding shortfalls that may occur if the plan improvements through the MPDs are not fulfilled. And three, the plan includes information about potential widening of 169 that is inconsistent with the regional transportation plan adopted last year. If the information in the transportation element and supporting technical
appendix Your time is up.
Are dependent on the widening of 169, it's inconsistent. Thank you very much.
Yes. Is there anybody else wishing to address this public hearing? Kristen?
Gil Borrelson, 231 Southeast Green Valley Road. I'd just like to make it in a form of questions, mainly for Barbara. So, is that okay?
Not during a public hearing.
No,
oh, okay. She can't respond to it. You can ask questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I had in mind some clarification comments, so, okay.
Well, you can ask the question and Barb could get back to you if need, or, you know, just not at this.
Or talk here. Offline once the meeting's over to get your questions answered.
Kristen?
Before I start, I had a question about Mr. Davis's comments, because I thought maybe someone was going to interrupt him and say, are those for the comprehensive plan hearing? Because they sounded like they were, but he gave them a public comment, so.
But he didn't need more time, so.
We will incorporate.
You still heard him.
He said.
I didn't know if it would be on the record, and I didn't, you know.
He sent written, so they're part of their record.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And that was his choice.
Okay. So.
Name and city of residence.
My name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And thank you for the opportunity to talk to you tonight. I liked your smile there. I know you grew up in Bellevue, and now you live in Black Diamond, and I know.
Yeah, I hate the commute, and I like it out here.
Thank you for your service. I wasn't going to comment tonight. I had sent some detailed comments to the Planning Commission at the hearing in August, and I'd spoken before. And I know that it seems like the council may have concerns about information from me. I haven't agreed with staff, and I have expressed different priorities than a lot of the council members, and it's difficult for there to be trust. Maybe you have a question of what my motives really are. Beyond that, there is a public process, and it seems like that process is really important to you. People who agree or disagree can come here and they can give input. And input is input, and facts are facts, no matter the source. And you do your best with the information that you have. So I won't go over in detail the comments that I did send last August, because I'm sure you can get those if you want. But the reason I decided to speak is because there's one issue that is real important to everyone, and it's schools. And I had sent commented to the Planning Commission at the meeting where they went over the chapter that included that. But it was in a different format. I don't think it's on the record previously in a written form. So on schools first, there's an easy part. The appendix of your comprehensive plan on page 1 states that not all of the information in the appendix is necessarily current, and you know, because this process has been going on for a long time. But on page 79 of the appendix, you can see the school information says that Black Diamond Elementary has portables and is at capacity, and it's clearly not updated to show that there is a new school. And I know everyone's made quite a big deal out of that, and it's probably not a big deal to update that part of the appendix to change the sentence to with the current school capacity, and I would hope you would consider that to avoid confusion. Now the hard part. Schools are important to everyone, because we're all familiar with that unfortunate situation of students who go to school in a district where classroom capacity is exceeded. There are problems with too many portables and not enough classroom space. There's discussion of year-round schedules to stretch the space, and years pass, and maybe the bonds fail, and finally the districts pass them. But in the meantime, students have all had a difficult experience going to an overcrowded school. And a lot of districts address this and reduce the problem with forward-thinking impact fees. Black Diamond took past positive steps with the Comprehensive School Mitigation Agreement. But that agreement's now 10 years old, and it is limited in scope. It's not indexed to inflation. The city doesn't seem to have a way to regularly update the impact fees to match what school building costs are in the market. When I brought this up with the Planning Commission, the concern expressed back to me was that the school district needs to set impact fees. However, cities and counties collect impact fees regularly, and they can work with the school district to do the studies to determine the need. Your school section on 8.8 on page 74 of the comprehensive plan is a half a page long. The first policy encourages space for all students. That policy could say ensure. It could then encourage the city to establish or work with the district to establish minimum space and school facilities needed per student. On that same page, policy PS4 says to coordinate with the district during residential development project review. The city can do more. It can work with the district to establish capacity standards, and if those standards are not met, then residential development can be deferred so that classrooms do not become full to the bursting point. Can you imagine being a teacher with over 40 students in a classroom? But we know that these things happen, and they need to be addressed at some point. Knowing that this predictable situation could have been avoided if the city had development standards that required a more sufficient impact fee payment or denial of development if the schools are already full would be even harder as a teacher and as a student. Also on this page, there is no policy for walkable schools. That was a big issue with public comments in the past made by community members. Did I get 5 minutes?
You've had 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Six.
That was really my last point was, you know, and you can look at the walkable schools work that was done in the past by King County Task Force. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Colin?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Colin Lund with Oak Point. Spend a lot of time in Black Diamond, but don't live here. We made comment on the comprehensive plan draft, and I had 11 pages, not 111, so Peter left, but he outdid me. So anyways, I just wanted to thank you for your consideration of our comments. I'd say a few of them are just kind of technical dates and those things that are more aligned, need to be corrected to be in line with what's already been adopted by the city. And then we've asked for an additional road to be added that could be an alternative to one of the roadway segments to lessen environmental impact. So we're not asking to delete anything, just actually add another potential roadway. So with that, I'd just say thank you for consideration.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. So we have no unfinished business and no new business, so we're to department reports. Chief Smith.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. You have a copy of my report before you. This is from spans April 4, March 7 through April 3rd, because last, if you recall, last meeting we did the apparatus instead of a report. Fires, engine 98 responded to four fires, resulting in $52,000 in loss. Probably the highest loss the city's had in fires in like 3 years. So, like I said, you guys do really good for fire loss. EMS, there was 36 calls. Hazardous conditions, two. Those are typically wires down or something like that. Service call, three. Good intent, five. False calls, one. 51 incidents, 1.89 per day. That's a little bit higher than normal. We're at 5.6 calls per day over the entire district. So, we got the 911 call installed at box at 99, and we received the signs Monday for the second time. They had the wrong address on them. Picture of the sign there. And they're pretty good size signs. They're like a little over 2.5 feet high and over a foot and a half wide. So we'll be putting those up probably in the next couple weeks at Station 99. Our next ad hoc committee is slated for April 16th at Fire Station 98. We'll be setting out that agenda for that probably next week. Thank you very much to the council members and the mayor who attended the volunteer recruit academy. When was that? 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? Sometime last month. I know it was that. Time, all the days kind of seem to run together. So, if you do you recall the accident we had on Auburn Black Diamond in front of the fisheries where the young lady that was pregnant died and. Remember that? Anyway, it was 6 months ago.
It was a head-on, right?
Yeah, the gentleman that was in that vehicle paid a visit to the fire station today. He just got out of the hospital just about a month ago. So, so it was kind of neat to see him. He survived the accident. His girlfriend and the baby didn't, and the little 3-year-old girl that was in the car survived. So, but it was nice to see him too. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How do I get one of the pens?
Is there any department reports? Okay, on my mayor's report, on March 22nd, I attended a mayor's meeting in Issaquah with Congresswoman Kim Schreier. She was interested in whatever money we were seeking for federal grants. So we have a capital improvement plan of our most recent asks that we have that we did to the state, so I sent her a copy of those items. And on 326, we have the Shoreline Management Program, second public meeting. And there were really, except for my husband and Janie's husband, only three other citizens in attendance and not any really negative comments. And last night was the Sound Cities Association networking dinner, and Bob Ferguson spoke about what's going on. And then we had a speaker from Kent. She was their DUI Kent prosecutor, and they have a program where once somebody has been prosecuted for multiple DUIs, that they kind of take them under their wing and counsel them and put them into rehab. And they've been really successful with this program of getting people off. She had an example of Mike that was 36 years old, and he had been doing drugs and alcohol since he was 12 years old. And so he had been living on the street. They first got him a bicycle, got him a job, reunited him with his family and his kids, and he's been several years clean. And he's part of the program as he keeps in touch with them continually. And they have, I don't know, but it's like 20% of people can be rehabbed, but most people can't, and then the recidivism is extremely high. So this program is working really well to try to rehab people that have multiple incidents and have, you know, not a lot of incentive to want to survive because they're homeless and they don't have anything, and this takes them off the street and puts them into rehab. So it was a really, really, really good program, and so I really appreciated it. Okay, who's first? Oh, you did. No, it's Councilmember Deedee then? Oh, okay, so she is get to be first. Oh, good. I forgot that you were doing that.
So I know everybody wants me to go quick, but I have a lot of stuff. So here we go. All right, so I know at the last council meeting we talked about more updates on what's each department's doing in our committees, on our committees. So here we go. So today we had a safety meeting with Chief Smith and Barlow, court, and our police. So Chief Smith kind of touched on what we talked about today. So two, he mentioned two fireworks stands are going to be in this year, so I'm sure that's coming forward to Barb. He talked about maybe a code revision, or if we just want to do a work study on a code revision on 500 feet versus over 1,000 feet from, I believe it was gas stations or anything flammable. I think there's an NFR or something, some acronym that states it needs to be 500 feet. We have it quite a bit further. Quarter of a mile. We've also discussed a little bit about 4th of July. We are getting calls right now about how that's handled. New residents are coming in. Also, you know, we've had some fireworks go off lately. We also get people that shoot their guns. So just a reminder that the city only allows for 4th of July from midnight to midnight.
Noon to midnight.
So we just, enforcing obviously is a big issue. So if the council wants to discuss that, have a work study, I mean, at any of our work studies, we can add anything. We can discuss it for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour, whatever you want to do. We discussed the purchase of the new fire truck, how that's going with May and the mayor. So that's still in the works. We discussed the new fire station that's still in lot line adjustment right now. So either it's near the end or somewhere in the middle, not sure. The police, there's an open position to replace Officer Jarius. So Officer Jarius was a sergeant. So the new officer's coming in as a lateral, so he's not coming in as a sergeant. So that'll be less money. They're in the process of interviews or they still looking at someone, or looking at someone right now. Brian Lynch teaches DARE program. That we all know that Brian does an awesome job. This may be his last year, so I'm sure the kiddos there and the teachers and everybody will be sad about that. And I'm sure they'll have a big party for him, so be sure to attend. He does an awesome job there. Let's see, we talked about space. You know, there's been that conversation of, you know, where's City Hall? What are we going to do? What's the council's policy? You know, what do we want to do? So, you know, I asked Jamie, you know, and I've asked her before, and they've run out of space. They just don't have any. So maybe council can figure out, you know, what is our policy? What is our direction for City Hall, police station, you know, court, whatever. Let's see. We also, Jamie's in need of another building for the boat, somewhere to store the boat. So they're talking with Public Works, maybe a pole building out here at the Public Works site, something where not only the boat's stored, but maybe City Hall can also store other items in there. So a dual-use building. And we also discussed, I asked Jamie about a need for another officer besides the one that we're hiring to replace Jarius. And we are in need. I know that at night we have, on the third shift, we have one officer that protects us. And I think that it would be good to have two officers at the night shift. And again, that's a council policy. You know, what do we want to do? How do we go about getting that? We talked about, you know, a lid lift, B&O tax. I know none of these are favorable, but you need business to bring in more revenue. We gained two businesses right now. We're losing. We lost two. And what do we do? You know, does the council just say we're going to wait till whoever brings in businesses? That could be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Do we just sit? Do we wait? What's our goal? What's the council's goal? What is our policy? And how are we going to get to that, what we want? So that would be a council work study. Let's see. The police department participated in a statewide distracted driving program just recently. That was paid for by the state. Police officers volunteered. They went out and did that distracted driving. I believe it was like the state mandated that you had to at least pull over three people per hour that they noticed were distracted driving. And Brian Lynch was one of those people. Talked about the car replacement program. Talked a little bit about work study, about our policies on City Hall, police, public works, putting money aside, buy property, lease property, rent. What's our goal? I have no idea right now. Court, they just purchased new furniture, which was in their budget, and it makes court more efficient in their tiny little space here. They're looking at hiring, doing interviews for a new court clerk. New prosecuting attorneys are right now we have. They like jury trials, so we're doing trials. Right now it's every other month. They're holding them in Enumclaw. The mayor, staff, they're looking at paying Enumclaw maybe some sort of money to do that, because it is taking up their time and space. For us here, because we are small in this building, they need places for the jurors to go, so they're not being interfered by other people. They need places for the prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney to go to talk to their clients in private. We really don't have that here. We talked about renting a trailer for out here for them to go into, or using the gym. So there's options that mayor's looking at right now. Renting. Okay, so who else? Met with the mayor this week. We talked about council retreat and City Hall, all these things that, you know, council's policies and everything. So we didn't leave agreeing on everything, but but I mean, there's things that the council needs to work on. And the April 11th work study, we can always add stuff. Discussion on lack of space for the police, City Hall, what does council want to do? Set money aside every year, buy properties, save money for rent and lease. You know, are we looking at leasing? Are we always saying that's going to be at the same price that we pay now? Renting, is that what we want to do? Build our own? How are we going to save that money? So I asked at the last council meeting for council to send in items to Brenda about what your top priorities are, what you think, you know, needs to be discussed and worked on. I think I sent 20 items or 18 items to Brenda. So if you haven't done that, please get that into her so that she can compile that and hopefully get us something that says, okay, here's where all five of you have a top. All of you want to discuss this. These would be good for a work study instead of a council retreat, but maybe just a work study where we can go through that. The civil response to active shooter event held by the police department is May 1st, 2019 at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So if you want to attend, it's worth going to. It's active shooter, what to do. I'll be at that. The police chief talked about a supervisory monthly report to the council. I think that's an excellent idea, where every month she'll send us a report on everything, overview of what's happening at the police station, police department. So I think that's good. We also got a police department overview year-to-date call of the service, so I have that. And then I also did finance. I don't have a whole lot to say about finance. It's all in the book right now. And then there is one more thing. Oh, the ribbon cutting for the regional park, the Black Diamond Regional Parks, is April 17th at 2 p.m. About the signs, the new signs that are out there. So they're doing a ribbon cutting. So if you want to attend that, that would be good to be as well. So I'm done.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Well, thank you, Tammy. You kind of helped wrap up our safety meeting that we both attended today. So thank you for capturing all those good notes. On that note, safety minute meeting today in council, and it's been just a busy early spring out in the yard working a lot. I would like to ask the community to help in volunteering. A lot of our volunteer groups out there, there's a lot of need for new volunteers and stuff within our community. Just to name a few, Labor Days, Miners Days, just events throughout the community that are so lacking of new volunteers. If you ever want to get involved, there's so many more besides the two main ones there, but just to get out there, get involved, meet your neighbors. You know, as our community grows, the volunteers are needed more. So getting out there and working out. I did a lot of volunteering myself before I was on council, and I miss a lot, but council's in has taken a lot of time, so I cannot volunteer as much as I would like to. So I just want to encourage people out there to take the step in the right direction and keep this community lively and working together and meet your neighbors and get out there. It's springtime. It's the best time to volunteer. So thank you.
Councilmember Edelman.
We didn't have any parks or public works committee meetings in the last couple of weeks, so I have nothing new to report. On the 26th of March, we did attend the Shoreline Master Plan meeting, and honestly, I was really disappointed that we didn't have more lake residents here. Although when we redid it a few years ago, that was the big heavy load back then, so it wasn't quite as big a deal this time. On the 27th, I met with Andy Williamson. We talked about the SEPA appeal and just development status, and I do that periodically anyway. On the 2nd of April, we had a CLTC meeting talking about our transportation issues.
And right now, there is some funding in the House budget for some Highway 18, Raging River to Issaquah Hobart. There's nothing in the Senate right now because they think it's all in the big transportation budget. So we'll wait and see what's going to happen with that. But it's a great coalition, and it's a very highly respected group from Maple Valley, Covington, Black Diamond, Chambers of Commerce. Snoqualmie is on board now, too, so it's a great meeting. And then last night I was also at the Sound Cities Association networking dinner. And then yesterday in my email I received, and this is for the council, this Public Issues Committee meeting is next Wednesday evening. This is my packet. This it's 79 pages of stuff. But Brenda is going to be sending out to you probably this evening. There are some items that are coming up on the agenda that I need to know what your opinions are. So there's an Affordable Housing Committee appointment. That's not a big deal. They're going to recommend somebody be on this committee. So that's not a big deal. There is a Challenge Seattle Middle Income Housing Initiative. So I need for you folks to look at that. It's in the packet, and then send Brenda an email, yay or nay. How should I vote? Another biggie that's coming up, and it's only a discussion item right now, but it's Initiative 976. That's the Tim Iman $30 license tab again. So I need for you folks to look at that. Give me some input on what you think I'm going to get with the mayor and, May. And Seth, and find out what are the impacts to the city. If we go back to $30 license tabs, there goes our TBD. There goes a lot of, that's what funds our road projects. So, but I, you know, that's just my knot hole off the top of my head. There's also a King Conservation District work plan and budget. We actually do get some money from King Conservation District sometimes, so that's a good thing. Another biggie is the King County Parks Levy renewal, because it looks like when I just went through this really quickly tonight, there's a lot of money out there that we're eligible for this next go round. So I need your input by Tuesday, please, so that I'll be prepared for the Wednesday meeting. And that's all I have. Councilmember Stout.
Can I just ask, would it be better just to send our response to you, Jamie? Okay, because we're just doing it separate.
If you want, just make sure it's separate. I don't want any group emails. So,
well, I don't think it would be. I mean, just,
yeah, if you want to just email me separately, that's fine.
That way it doesn't take up Brenda's time, I guess.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we don't get stuck in a bad situation. So, whatever you'd like to do.
Email carefully.
Yes.
Okay.
Do not reply all.
Thank you. Okay, I attended our finance committee meeting, and we once again had a college student there with us. Her name was Daphne, and she's attending college at, I think she said Arizona State University, but she's doing it online. And her education is being funded by Starbucks. She works for Starbucks, and we were pretty impressed to hear. She said she has to work really hard to earn that scholarship from Starbucks. So that was pretty interesting. And she had a couple good questions for us and took some pictures of the development maps and things that she thought were interesting in the area. So it was good to see a young person just getting up and getting out and working hard on her degree and making coffee for people. I was able to read the police award nominations, and several of our police officers were nominated, and it's really interesting to see how they are respected by their coworkers and the good things that they do. And I guess you can only give one big fancy award, but our police officers do a really good job out there, and I just wanted to put it out there that an award was given tonight, but we have some good officers in our department. I also met with Andy Williamson for clarification about the SEPA appeal, and I appreciate the sexual assault month awareness, sexual assault awareness month proclamation. I'm sure I didn't say that right. But this is something that's in our community that we need to be aware of. And as members of the community, it behooves us to keep our eyes open and make sure that we're not shaking our heads or saying, you know, not in my backyard or not in my family or not in my neighborhood. This is something that can affect people and does and has affected people in our very own Black Diamond. So let's keep our eyes open and let's take a stand and make sure that we're not letting anything fall through the cracks where someone's being injured in our community. I was able to attend the Black Diamond School principal presentation tonight. Mrs. Garten has gotten a different position in the district, and so they're going to be hiring a new principal for Black Diamond Elementary School. And the district has narrowed it down to two candidates. They had quite a few candidates that were worthy, but they've narrowed it down to Melanie Reedy and Tim Lee. Tim Lee is from Yakima, or at least he works in Yakima right now. He's from Westport, Washington. And Melanie Reedy is, she lives near here. Her children go to Sawyer Woods Elementary School, but right now she's working as an administrator in Mercer Island. And both of them gave really good presentations, and I think the HR department and the administration is going to have a hard time deciding who to hire because they were really, really good. And Mrs. Garten has done such a great job at the elementary school for a long time, so they're going to have big shoes to fill. But it's good to know that in our community we have a little bit of stirring the pot, a little something is going to change. And it was just really impressive to listen to these two good educators kind of make their plea in front of the community. Some parents asked some really good questions too. So they're kind of on the firing line. I've never seen that done before where, you know, they go to their interview with the HR department and the and district officials, Mike Nelson, and then they're kind of thrown out into the community for question and answer. I thought that was really a different way to do it. And they were willing to accept comments from the community. So it'll be interesting to see whether Melanie Reedy is hired or Tim Lee. And that is the end of my report.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Well, it's actually been kind of quiet. We haven't had any committee meetings besides the ad hoc committee meeting, the fire ad hoc committee meeting. I've been playing schedule bingo with Andy to try to get on each other's schedules. It's been a couple of busy weeks at work because I've been just crazy. Andy and I are playing phone tag and email tag to try to get on each other's schedules. One thing I have been working on, and we'll probably bring up at a future work study, there are now 9 counties that have signed resolutions in support of the First, Second, and First Amendment against I-1639. There are a handful of cities that are currently either making proclamations or resolutions. I've been working with David a little bit to figure out exactly what's our best legal approach so we don't get ourselves in hot water. And we'd like to have some discussion about that, what the rest of the council feels like, what their position are on that at the next work study. So it's more of a, I think the best approach that I've seen of all the counties and stuff have been more of we support and honor our oath to the Constitution, both federal and state, than it is that we don't like such a law that was passed or something, right? We can worry about what's going to happen with that law in the courts because it'll be tied up in the courts for a long time, right? But if we can figure out what's the appropriate approach for the city of Black Diamond to let our citizens know that we understand that they have constitutional rights, both state and federal, that we plan to defend as our oath states. So I think that'd be a good thing to discuss at maybe the next work study, figure out what we feel comfortable doing and what everybody's thoughts are on it. So
you need to email Brenda on that so she can add it to the work study.
Well, thank you. I did. I stopped by the Welcome Center today. One of the things I was thinking about was maybe we should have Adam come out and talk to the council about the HOA and the plans for the HOA and that kind of stuff, right? Maybe think about, you know, I'm going to try to set up a meeting with him at some point in time, but that's going to be a lot of people eventually, right, in that HOA. It'd be interesting to see what their thoughts are. And I know that his role is more of an administrative role, but they've got 30-some families living there now, right? And 70-some houses sold, so that'll be growing quickly, right? It'll be interesting to be able to kind of get their ear and stuff.
They're not sold until they sign the final papers and close with King County.
So.
But, you know, eventually he's going to have a homeowners association meeting, and my thought was that Jamie and I would probably attend the homeowners association meeting and talk about, you know, what the city does, and that may be something that we want to do with Adam instead of maybe have him come to a work study. It would be better for us to, when he had, because I'm sure he'll be having homeowners association meetings soon.
Right. Yeah, maybe that'd be a good approach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
Okay. And I don't think that there's going to be an attorney's report since he's not here.
One more thing. There is a Franklin tour this weekend, right? There's a Franklin tour on Saturday.
Yep.
Right? So I'm going to try to, hopefully if the weather holds, the family and I are going to try to attend.
So now it's time for the second public comments. Please, if you wish to address council, step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Anybody wish to address council? Seeing no one, I will close these public comments. We're not having an executive session, so
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.